Good morning. Today, of course, is Lag BaOmer. Everyone who is here, it's a special Mesiras Nefesh, giving up on the bonfires and the other festivities. So we're going to skip towards the end of the siman. We're going to discuss some of the more controversial cases, if you will, as a reward. The Gemara on Daf Kuf Ches gives two exceptions to the Dina de Bar Metzra. And the Gemara says as follows. Zovin me'akum lesbe mishum Dina de Bar Metzra. Although normally when a property is sold, the neighbors have the rights of first refusal, the Bar Metzra has the right to buy it. If he is purchasing the property from a goy, the person, the original owner, the original person that lived there was a goy, and he sells it, then the Dina de Bametzra does not apply. The neighbor cannot go ahead and come to the buyer and say, I'm the Bametzra, give the property to me. Why not? So the Gemara says, the Amr Lay, the buyer tells the Bametzra, the buyer tells the neighbor, Ari Avruchi Limi Metzra. When I purchased the property from a guy, I got rid of a lion from the border. Now, until now, who is your neighbor? A guy. A goy is a loitzai is din. A goy is someone who does not follow halacha. And a goy is someone who, if he does not follow halacha, if he causes any damage, you have no recourse. What are you going to do, schlep him to Beis Din? I went ahead, and I was misalik him. I bought the property, and now I moved in. I'm a shein yid, I'm a tzai is din. And you're now in a much better position. You now do not have this ari, this lion, crouching on your border. And because of that, because buying the property from the goy is considered ari avrichis lei, I'm helping out the bar metzra, I'm helping out the neighbor by getting rid of the goy and moving in myself. Because I'm helping him out, he can't come out to Yashav Ritzayv and say, give it to me. The actual buying itself was for his tayelis. We do not want to, we want to encourage people to go ahead and to do it. And therefore, the dina de metzra will not apply. Now the Shach quotes a ranach, that this is not limited to a goy. Anytime the neighbor, the person who is selling the property, is a loitzai is din, is someone who does not follow halacha. So if an outside buyer comes and purchases the property, he's getting rid of this loitzai is din. So there we will, the halachas of bar metzor will not apply. What's the halacha over here? The halacha here is that if a goy sells a property, the Bar Metzra can come to the buyer and say, give it to me, you shouldn't have bought it. Because we say, Adarabba, the buyer did the Bar Metzra a favor. What happens if the Bar Metzra says, I would have bought it myself. I didn't need you to come in. If the goy was selling it, I would have bought it myself. Either way, the goy would be out. And therefore, you're not doing me any favors by you going ahead and buying it. So if we hear the Rishayin of the Muki Yosef when he discusses the halacha, he says that no, that's not a taina. Why? Because you can say, the buyer can say, listen, I went to the goy, I'm a good negotiator, I got the deal done. Had I not come in, maybe he would have sold it to you, maybe not. It's very likely he would have sold it to another goy. Even if he said, so because I did you a favor, because I came in and I got the deal done, if had I not done it, he may have just sold it off to another goy. Rabbi Yosef says, there the din of the matzah will not apply. So therefore, the Magi Yosef says, because it's always possible for him to sell it to a guy, therefore, there's no din of the Bar Metzra, because we say that you're getting rid of the lion, and din of the Metzra will not apply. Now, what happens in a place like Lakewood, where someone's selling a piece of property on corner of Fifth and Forest, so there's not been a sale to a guy in probably decades. It's a very Jewish neighborhood. The prices that are being charged are no goy in his right mind is going to pay those prices. The houses are very Jewish houses. Goyim do not need a house that looks like that, with maxing out the bedrooms or whatever the surah of a Jewish house is. So there's basically absolutely no chance that a goy will actually buy the house. So is there a dina de bar metzra in such a case? So over here, if you look at the Trumas Hadeshim, when he discusses this halacha, he says it slightly differently. He says that when a goy is selling a property, He says, if someone comes and buys it, there's no dinner to buy metzorah because he got rid of the guy. And had he not come in, maybe the guy wouldn't have sold the property. He lives, the guy owns it. Until now, he lived here. What's he doing on Fifth and Forest? I don't know. But that's where he is. So right now, he put it up for sale. He's thinking about selling it. So the Zakat Truma Sadeshen, even though all of the potential customers are certainly Jewish, who says he would actually sell it? Maybe he changed his mind. Maybe he decide, wait a couple of months, the prices in the real estate will shoot up even more. And since it is not muchach that he'll actually sell it, the Truma Sadeshen says, then the same halacha would apply. There's no dinu din by metzor. Now, what would be in a case where it's clear where he will sell it? Whatever, sometimes you do have situations where it's clear that he will sell it. So in such a case, where it's clear that he's going to sell it, and it's clear the buyer will be a yid, l'chayra, you can make this argument, that the person buying it is not doing any favor. He's not getting rid of a lion. The lion is going to be gone regardless, because it will be sold. It will be sold to another yid. And in this case, there's a very strong argument that the din of bar metzora will apply. And this is a ma'isim b'choyoyim. Again, it's always a machlekes, it's always a fight. But there's ma'isim b'choyoyim. We're in such a situation where perhaps the din of metzora would apply, since it is clear that it would end up in the hands of a yid. Now, different me'okiel does say there's a loy plug. Since the Gemara says when you buy from a goy, there's no din by metzora because we have this concept of you getting rid of the lion. So it's true in this particular case on Fifth and Forest, there's no possibility that it'll end up by a goy. The halacha shouldn't apply, but he says loy plug. Once the Gemara says buying from a goy, there's no din by metzora, we don't go ahead and examine each case. We say across the board, there's no din by metzora. However, the Beis Yosef in Afkas Roichel is mashma not like that. He seems to say that this is not a din of loy plug. There is no special takana of a goy. There's a takana of dinah de bar metzora that when you buy a house, the neighbor has rights of first refusal. The Gemara says the takana doesn't apply in this case because there's an overriding advantage. But it's not a new takana that there's no bar metzora by a goy. It's just a svara, which the Gemara says. And therefore, if you have a case where the svara doesn't apply, if you have a case where, regardless, the yid would end up with, the Afkas Roichel says that there will be dinah de bar metzora, and the neighbor will have the right to get it. Now, a related question that comes up is what happens if the goy is selling the property? Now, it's not in Lakewood on Fifth and Forest. It's somewhere where we don't know who will buy it. But the bar metzora is the neighbor. He notices the for sale sign. And he wants to go. He starts handling with a guy, or he sees someone negotiating with a guy. He goes over to the fellow and says, "Listen, I'm a bar metzora. Let me get first crack. Let me try to buy the property." So the buyer says, "What are you talking about?" The Gemara says that when you buy from a guy, there's no dinah bar metzora. Zechariah Kiveger, that's all after the fact. If the buyer comes in, he sees the for sale sign. He wants to buy it from a guy. He can do it. He's doing the bar metzora a favor, so we don't have the din of the bar metzora. However, if before he buys the property, bar metzora comes and says, "I'm interested, I'll buy it," so Kivega's matadid, that here already we will say bar metzora. Because what's the whole reason why there's no bar metzora? Because you're doing the bar metzora a favor by getting rid of the ari. Over here, the bar metzora's here, he's getting rid of the ari himself, he's negotiating, he's making an offer. So in such a case, Rav Kiveh Eger is mitzadid that since the bar metzora is here, he doesn't need anyone to do him this favor, he doesn't need anyone to get rid of the ari, he's perfectly capable of doing it on his own. There, Rav Kiveh Eger is mitzadid that l'chachilo, you should allow the bar metzora to go ahead and to buy it. Oh, so the Knesset HaGedolah brings down this svara. Knesset HaGedolah is not quoting Rav Kiveh Eger, he's quoting a Ranach. And he says, and this is really what the Ranach says at the end, is that this halacha is limited. It means the case, it only applies when, if a metzora's taka negotiates, he makes an offer, they have an agreement in principle. So then, if anyone else comes in and interferes, and good, you'll have a shaila whether it is onimach b'chararo, it isn't, it'll depend on the case. But in that case, he'll have the end of a metzora. Because he can say, "I was here, I had an agreement, I didn't need you to get rid of the lion." But, in the absence of that, if it was just a thought, it was just an idea, maybe he made an offer, but it was rejected. In that case, since it is unclear whether he'll close, you're doing the person a favor, and in that case, the dinah d'bar metzora would not apply. Now this actually leads to an interesting question. What happens if the property is for sale? And there's a guy selling the property. Someone wants to make the bar mitzvah puts in an offer. But it's not accepted yet. So there's no din in the bar mitzvah. Someone else can come along, and since the guy is selling it, someone else can put it and it can go ahead and get the property. Is there anything wrong with bidding up the property when the bar mitzvah is interested in it? So over here, this is the chayre in version of Nesivus. The Nesivus, I believe we mentioned it when we were doing Animap of Harara, in Simon Reish Lam and Zayin. There was a chayre in the Meir Gerishim, not to, if there was someone who was renting a house from a guy, not to approach the guy and make an offer on the unit if a yid lives there. Frankly, Nesivus, why do we need this new chayre in the Meir Gerishim? Typically, that's by Metzra. A soicher, someone who's a tenant, we're going to learn later on, there is a din de mametzra. Again, it's a home achleikos, we'll discuss that later, different year. But a soicher usually has first rights on the property. If that's the case, so if he's renting it from a guy, why do we need a cheirim that no one else should come in and try to get the unit? Typically, that the bametzra has first rights, and that's why you shouldn't go ahead and take it, because he'll be a bametzra. No. Because if it's dinner the Bimetra, that just means if someone comes ahead and rents the unit, the Bimetra can come ahead and can say, I'm the Seicher, give it to me. What happens if you want to put in a higher offer? Dinner Bimetra doesn't mean that someone you can't bid against a Bimetra. There's no halacha of a Bimetra that you can't go ahead and you can't put in a better offer. You certainly could. The dinner the Bimetra is that once you buy the property, the Bimetra comes in and says, I have first rights, I'll give you what you paid, give it to me. Turn it over to me. But to stop someone l'chadchila from entering into a bidding war, that, you know, there's no such thing. Comes along cheirim d'rameinu gerishim, that there's a special cheirim to protect people, you know, Jewish tenants, that when if you're in the unit, someone shouldn't go ahead and offer the goy more in order to get rid of the current tenants. But mishum dinin bar metzra, it won't apply. So what we see clearly is that when in a case of bar metzra, even if the seller is a goy, there's nothing wrong with putting a higher offer, trying to get the property. The dinner metro is only the other way. If you buy it in a case where the guy would have sold it anyway, in what we just said over, then the yid will have the right to claim by metzra. In the app, if it's not clear that a yid would end up with it, then there would not be by metzra. So the real din of bar mitzvah is at the closing. When the buyer, lekeach, gets the property, at that point the bar mitzvah makes the claim and says, give it to me. There is a discussion, and again, it needs a hesber. When we go through some of the details, we'll get back to this. There are many cases that we've discussed, or we will discuss, where there's a din of lechadchila. When both parties come before the closing, the melechah should sell it to the bar mitzvah. Now this indicates that there is a halacha of bar mitzvah on the seller, even before the closing. That needs a hesber, because the pashup shot is only the lekeach afterwards, but that's only lechadchila de gadin. The real tefiah in Bezdin, where Bezdin can enforce something, is only after the fact, after the actual closing. But a contract, just an agreement to buy something, is not where the ikar din of bar mitzvah would apply. So going back, so basically this nesivos, if a person is renting from a guy, or even by a sale, bidding it up, in a case where there's a bimetzer, the nesivos says there was no problem with having a bidding war, even though the beneficiary is a guy. I did see, I think it was a chesed Avram, is matchit, he has a different shot. I'll call upon him in the nesivos, this is what should come out. So this is all the halacha of when you're buying a property from a guy. When you're buying from a guy, there's no din in the bimetzer. A possible exception is when it's clear that it would be sold and it would be sold to a yid. There already we saw a svara to say that because there's no benefit to the neighbor, we will apply the din of bimetzra. If there's any doubt whatsoever, if there's any suffix, any explanation, it doesn't take much to push away the din of bimetzra. And especially over here where there's a gemara that says when you buy from a goy, there's no din of bimetzra. So if the outside buyer can make any plausible claim that it's possible that a goy would have bought it, then there would be no bimetzra. It's only when it's perfectly clear that it would be sold to a yid, there already it's very, very mistavra that the din of bimetzra will apply. Now let's discuss the opposite case. What is the halacha when a person owns a property and argument's sake, it's in a Jewish neighborhood, and he wants to sell or to rent the property to a guy. So we are going reading a little bit further in the same Gemara in Daf Kuf Ches. Gemara says like this: Zavin la'akum. The halacha is less bay mishum dina b'metzra. If you sell a property to a guy, there's no dina b'metzra. The neighbor can't pop up, bring the guy to a bezdin, and say, "Give it. I'm the b'metzra. I have the rights of first refusal. Give me the property." Why? So zok the Gemara. Zavin la'akum. Akum v'adei la'avar v'sisu yashar v'atayvu. The whole din of Ametzra is, it's not a real halacha, it's not a schus mamon. It's vasisa yashav atoyv. You're supposed to be doing what's right. And in this particular case, Chazal said, because to the neighbor this is so important and valuable, to you, you can go elsewhere, do the right thing, do yashav atoyv, give it to him. Klal Yisrael has a chiyuv of vasisa yashav atoyv. A goy has no such chiyuv. He doesn't have to do what's yashav atoyv. He can't steal, he can't rob, he can't do anything, he can't do something shalok yadin. But this obligation to do Yashar V'Toyev, the obligation that because the neighbor will have a tremendous benefit in it, and for you, you really can get this elsewhere, that does not apply. We don't impose such obligations on a guy. And therefore, the guy says, I'm not mechuyev in Bar Metzra. As we explained before, Bar Metzra is a din on the buyer. When the buyer buys it, he has, because of Yashar V'Toyev, he should give the Bar Metzra the opportunity to take it. It's not a din on the seller. So over here, even though you're the seller, you're Jewish, since you sold it to a guy, the buyer, is the one that normally has the chiyuv bar metzra. A guy has no din of yashar v'toyv. He has no obligation to do yashar v'toyv and do lefnim mishuras adin. So therefore, since the guy buys it, there is no din of the bar metzra. Even if you haul him in front of a bezdin and he agrees to come, bezdin will tell him, there's no reason to turn it over. It's yours to keep. You're not mechuyev in yashar v'toyv. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says it's true there's no dina de ma'metra. And it's true once the guy buys it, he keeps it, you have no claim against the guy, even if he comes to Bezdin, there's no schos. Zok the Gemara, b'shamutei v'adei mishamtinan le, adem makabo le kol oinso de atzilei machmosei. We put the seller in cherem, because he sold the property in the Jewish neighborhood to a guy, we put him in cherem, until he accepts liability for any damage that the goy caused. And the way the Rishonim explain it, there's an assumption that a goy is an anus, a goy is not a tzayis din, and therefore he moves into the neighborhood, who knows what he'll do? He can be mazik, he can cause damage, he can bring in his drug dealers and cause hezek to people in the neighborhood. And therefore we put the seller in cheirim for bringing this mazik into the neighborhood, until he accepts liability to pay for any damage that the guy caused. So what we see here is a few points. The first point is that the Gemara doesn't say that when you put someone in the neighborhood, you're responsible for the damage. It doesn't say that. It says that we put him in cherem for bringing this person in until he agrees to accept for all his acres. So it's muduyuk. Then in Hilchos Mazik, you can't make a person pay. If you put a goy in the neighborhood, you can't go ahead and send him a bill for anything that he does. That's a groma. It's too indirect. You're not a mazik b'yadayim. You're not a garmi. You can't send him a bill. However, because you are putting the Jewish neighbors in harm's way, because you are putting in this person who there's an assumption can and likely will cause damage to the neighbors, Bezdin puts him in cheirim until he agrees to pay for any hezek that happens. Once he agrees to pay for the hezek, we take him out of cheirim, and anything that happens afterwards, once he was makabel, he is now responsible, even though it's a groma, even though it's indirect. Once you're makabel to pay for gromas, now you're going to actually have to pay. So that what the Gemara says very clearly, and there's no machlokes about this, is selling a house to a guy when there are neighbors that are Jewish, there's no dinah by metzra, but we put the seller into cheirim for bringing this mazik into the neighborhood. What happens, in your case, when you have the property? You hang up a for sign sale, you list it with an agent, and no one Jewish is interested. It only has one sink, it's not in good condition, and a guy knocks on your door, and he's willing to pay full price for it. What is the halacha then? So over here we have a three-way machlokes rishonim. Halacha l'maaseh, we pass in like the Rosh. That in such a case, if a yid is not willing to pay the price, you can sell it to a guy. Now this is a chiddush, because normally in Hilchos Mazik, why, if it's a regular mazik, why do I have the right to just be simply because there's no Jew buying it, why do I have the right to do it? So it's a chiddush, whatever the pshat is, but it's clear in halacha that if a yid is not willing to pay its fair market value, and a goy is, you have the right to go ahead and to sell it to the goy. You don't put him in chayrim, he didn't do anything wrong, and that he has the right to do it. Now this happens all the time. You'll have a neighborhood, especially a neighborhood which is churning over, it's becoming, Jews are moving in, and at some point, very often there are investors that invested in the area. They just have tenants that are goyim. You have Jews beginning to move in. They want the entire neighborhood to turn over. The investors, on the other hand, want to wait until the value goes up more, until there are enough Jews to really drive up the value, and they have this fight. The people who live there say, "Listen, we're living here. You're bringing in tenants who are inchi delay miley, and we want them out." And the landlord say, "Listen, we'd love to rent it to a yid. Find me a tenant, and we'll be thrilled. But right now, these are the people that are willing to pay the price." So Al-Pidin, the Rosh says that the investors are right, because it's true. Everyone wants to live in a Jewish neighborhood. It's very nice. Nice to have a Shabbos afternoon, your peace and quiet. But why does the investor have to be sponsoring your Shabbos nap? If it means so much to you and to the neighborhood, let them chip in and pay for that shortfall. To tell the investor, you have to take the loss for us to have a more pleasant environment, that you don't have the right to do. And therefore, if you cannot find a yid that's willing to pay the fair market value, there this halacha will not apply, and you could rent it to a guy. Okay, but that's not a halacha anymore. That's already, you want to give the person a moser shmuz that it's not nice to invest over here, you can do that. But to come to him with dina de mametzro, or this dina of shamuti mishamtinan lay, he owns this property, he has the guy willing to pay $1,200 a month, which is the price. A yid comes in, "I don't like the kitchen, I'll give you $800. So he has no chiv to take this loss or even to accept lower levels of profits simply to make the neighborhood into a better neighborhood. Now, in most cases with investors, there happens to be a number of other factors. First of all, the neighborhood when he came in wasn't Jewish. So who did he buy the property from? A goy. If a person buys a property from a goy and rents it back to a goy, that's mutter. You haven't brought any line, you haven't brought any mazik into the neighborhood. The mazik was there before. You just, instead of it being owned by the mazik, now he's just a tenant. If anything, you've made it somewhat better, because the tenants will eventually move out. So in such a case, if you buy a property from a goy and then you rent it to a goy, there this entire halacha won't apply. You're not destroying the neighborhood. Adrab, this is what the neighborhood was. Now, it's true, had you not invested, had an end user come in, he would have moved in himself, it would have made the neighborhood nicer. But again, it would have made the neighborhood nicer. You haven't done anything actively to hurt the neighborhood. On top of that, another argument which usually comes in, which is a legitimate argument, is that very often the investors were there first. They bought on spec, expecting that eventually, the neighborhoods will expand. They'll expand the Eruv depending on the community, and the Jews will move. So if the investor was there first, and an end user buys the house next door to the investor, he moves into the Goyish neighborhood because he got a great deal on it because there was no one else living there. And then he comes, "Listen, I got my great deal, but now that there are other people, I want you to take a loss and rent it out to a yid." Yeah, you have no right to do. If you don't want to live in a neighborhood that has goyim, so go buy in the heart of Muncie, or go buy in a neighborhood that's more to your liking. To buy in that neighborhood to take advantage of the prices, and then to turn around to the investor and say, "No, you can't take advantage. I should get all that benefit." That you have no claim up he didn't to do. Adarabba, if everyone would learn Bava Metzia Daf Kufches, then we wouldn't have this problem in the first place. Now, if you do look at the tshuvas, Rav Moshe actually has a tshuva, I'm not sure which, I think it was a neighborhood in the Bronx, and I'm not sure where the neighborhood was, where Hitaka discusses. Now, he's not coming from this halach. And we find there are places where they make takanos, where they see that the investors are making problems and it's causing real stress within the community. And there are places where the Rabbanim got together or the Askanim got together, and they made takanos, they made rules, they made gzeiros. But that's a different halacha. That's not Hilchus Choshev Mishpat, it's not Hilchus Bar Metzra, it's not Hilchus Mazik. It's Hilchus Zayin Tayveir, and a concept that people need to make rules and make seder to protect a community. But it is not, you can't blame it on this halacha. Rav Moshe Taka writes a tshuva, how if anyone that sells is just going to cause one, it snowballs. One thing leads to the next, and Taka writes, no one should be selling out. Okay, very good, very good, very good. And this comes up all the time. Although the halacha is that if you have your unit on the market, a guy is willing to pay the fair price, and Jews are not interested. They want to bargain. They want to pay less. So halacha is you can rent it to, you can sell it to a guy. The Sma says that's only when the guy is paying the fair value, and the yidden want to bargain. Masha Einkein, if the fair market value of this house, the yid's willing to pay. However, you find a guy who, for some reason, is willing to overpay. So over there, the Prishon and the Sma say, there this halacha doesn't apply. Since you're able to get the fair value for this unit from the yid, even though if you want it, there's a guy that's willing to overpay, there he says you can't do. Now, again, there are different lashonos. At some point, there's a second halacha that if a guy moves into a Jewish neighborhood and you see, he means trouble. This guy, why is he moving in the heart of Borough Park? What's he doing here? He must be here because he wants to make trouble. He wants to shepherd the yidden. There also, it's a halacha mufreshes. This halacha doesn't. Even if there's no yid that's willing to pay the fair price to sell it or to rent it to a guy who's out to make trouble, this halacha won't apply. Now the sma sounds like his halacha is a separate halacha. Even in the absence of this nekuda that the guy is making trouble, the very fact that if the yid's willing to pay the fair price, you just have a guy who's willing to overpay, there he says, it's mashma, even without the other cheshman, it's mashma, this halacha would not apply, and you would have to rent it to a yid. Now, in a case where, and this is very common, where the yid is willing to pay the fair market value, but there are goyim who are willing to rent it, they're making it into a boarding house, an illegal boarding house, they'll put in 15 families, and because of that, they're willing to pay a premium. So here, l'chor, we have two svaros why you shouldn't be able to. First of all, because the yid is willing to pay the fair value. The fact that a goy can do something illegal and therefore pay a premium, it doesn't change the fair market value of the house. And therefore, it's not considered a hefsid, and there would be an isser to rent to the goy. Secondly, you probably have the other argument, that when a goy is moving to a Jewish neighborhood, the dafka, to create problems, the halacha is you can't rent it to a goy. In a case where he wants to bring in multiple families, something which is not the derech, it's not the derech of living, and it's something which causes problems for the neighbor, so even though he might not be bedafka targeting Jews, but coming here like he's renting it in order to be mafriya and make problems in the neighborhood, there this halacha would not apply, and there would be chiyuv to rent it to the yid. Now I want to get back to the question that you raised. We had a whole series of shiurim a while back on the pasuk in last week's parasha of v'chisimkru memkola misecho oikona miyada misecho, and so there was a drasha, the v'chisimkru memkar la misecho. When you're selling something, sell it to a yid. Oikona miyada misecho. If you're buying something, you should be buying from a yid. And that was the halacha that you should give kedima. If you have a choice to do business with a yid or to a goy, then you should give kedima. You should do business with a yid. Frech the Marsham, he is a raya from a Gemara Mufresh. It's not like this. What is raya? Our sukkah. Because what did we just learn? That you have a unit. You want to rent it out. A goy and a yid comes. So we have this whole new halacha. We have the halacha is that there's no bar metzra, so we do what? Chayram, this whole halacha. Frech the Marsham, the case is they're both willing to pay the same price. Because as we just learned, if the yid's not willing to pay the fair price, then this halacha doesn't apply. So the case is they're both willing to pay the same price. So why do we need this whole special chiddush about houses and hezek and this whole shtigl Torah? Say very simple. It says, you have a choice between selling it to a Yid or to a Goy, you should be selling it to a Yid. So that's why, don't rent it to a Goy, send it to a Yid. Because of this kasha, Masham points out, he has this kasha, Masham also points out that this drasha of v'chisimkur me'amkar la'amisach is not brought down in the Gemara, not brought down in Shulchan Aruch either. It's brought down, and Rashi brings it down, the Rashi brings down the drasha, then there's a Tshuva's Ramah that talks about it, and but the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch doesn't write it. Pesach Tshuva mentions it at some, mentions the Tshuva's Ramah somewhere, and it's just Mitzayin into it, and that's it. It's off. It's not brought down in the halacha anywhere. Masham says, v'yis'os, it's not a halacha. It's a hanhaga toiva. It's certainly a nice thing to do, but it's not a chiyuv. It's not an iser to go ahead against it, and that's why he says, that's why Fakir. Our Gemara Bavli doesn't hold of it, and the Ikar Adin, he says, there's no chiyuv whatsoever. Now the Ramah and Chavetz Chaim argue. They seem to hold that it is a din. So what do they do with our Gemara? So here there are a few dichuyim. The first is that our Gemara doesn't just say you should rent it to the Yid. What our Gemara says is that if you get rented to a goy, salach is there's no dinner by metzra, but shamuti mishamtin and lay adam makabel like losai koloinsa. We put him in cheirim until he agrees to pay for any damage that the goy caused. Now, we had just been discussing halacha of chisimkru memkar la'amisecha, even according to the most chomer dekashitas, that's just a din lechachila. You should be doing business. You should be dealing with a yid, sell it to him, buy it from him, do business with another yid. But after the fact, you go ahead and you do it, there's no recourse. You can't come to him and tell him to undo the deal. You can't come to him and tell him, now that you rented it to a goy, you're causing me problems, I want you to accept that any damage the goy does, he's going to make me pay. There's no such halacha. So therefore, what some say is that our Gemara is coming to tell is not the din of lichadchila. Lichadchila, you would have to sell it to the yid anyway because of v'chisim memkar. Where our Gemara is coming to be mechayish to us is this other halacha that after the fact we can put him in chayrim, we can cause the owner to go ahead and to pay for any damage that he caused. But again, it is a machlokes Masham because of this Gemara is matchet. The truth is there is another nekuda, and that is that what happens in a case where you have something for sale, and the yid is willing to pay the fair price. A goy is willing to overpay for it. So in that case, there's a very minimal amount of loss you have to suffer to deal with a yid. Some shittas hold any hefsid, you can sell it to a goy no matter what, if there's any price difference. Others hold it has to be significant. There are different gedarim. But al pi din, at least la halacha, if there's anything more than a minimal price difference, you have the right to sell it to the goy over to the yid because you're going to make more money. What we've learned over here, at least according to the Sma, is that if a yid is willing to pay the fair price, even if a goy is willing to overpay, still the halacha is sell to a yid. Now, if we're dealing with the din of chisim kurman kar la misecha, that's only when the price is the same or there's a minimal difference. If you're going to make a lot more money selling it to a goy, then according to Chavetz Chaim, according to Moshitas, sell it to the goy wherever you go because there's a significant price difference. In our halacha, we're being much more machmer. We're saying that as long as the yid is willing to pay the fair price, even though there's a guy available willing to pay a huge premium, you're going to make a lot more. Since it's a premium, since it's above its market value, there that we say, no, you don't have the right to do it. You can't bring in the guy to the Yiddish neighborhood, and we're going to be ma'akev and put the person in chayra. So this is another reason, another teretz, why our Gemara needs this new halacha, even though there's a din of simkru memkar la misecha. Okay, just the last 2-3 minutes, just to go through at least to start another halacha, and that is we discussed, we mentioned in the past, the din of metzra is when you have a neighbor. It's a right of first refusal, since to a neighbor this is important, go leave it to him. An outside buyer shouldn't be coming in and shouldn't be trying to buy it. All the cases of Bametzra are cases where the properties are adjacent. They're actually touching each other. And because they're adjacent, you're able to use, there's a joint use. You can combine them together. You'll have one big farm, you'll have one big house, you have one big property, you'll be able to use it together. That is where the din of Bametzra will apply. On the other hand, if you're not going to put them together, the Gemara's case, if there's a barrier on the along the border, So there, even though it's close by, there might be a certain convenience that your properties are near each other. That does not qualify for bai metzah. For bai metzah, you need, they're actually touching, they're actually going to be a joint use. Now, an interesting question that comes up is what happens if you buy a property, and you have a property, your neighbor's property is for sale, and you have these chaloyim, so you're going to buy the two properties, you're going to subdivide them, you'll get more units on, and there's a tremendous benefit from having it. There's one slight problem, and that is called the zoning board. You need a variance. You need to get approval. You need to change the zoning in order to develop the property, in order to get this, to unlock this value, to get this benefit. So this is, so if you go back and look, in the case when you have a field and there's a barrier, so there the Mefarshim say that if it's a small barrier, if it can just be removed easily, then you have dinah de bai metzah. Because although in its current state you can't use it together, what you do is you come in, you remove the barrier, and now you have two fields that are together. Masha'en kein, if you have a whole row of dekolim, you have a strong and permanent barrier, so in theory you can go ahead, you can remove everything, but that's not the norm, that's not the derech, and therefore you will not have dinah de bai metzah. Now, I don't know what zoning rules and zoning boards are like in this neck of the woods, but it probably depends on what kind of change it is and how easy or how common it is to get such a variance. If you're going through this variance in, say, Kayser or a place where zoning laws are not overly strict and developers generally get their way, so in all likelihood, even though right now it can't be used together since it's oimid lekach, it's something which is easy to be done, it's just a process, it will happen, then there would be a claim of bai metzah. On the other hand, if you're in an area that is more strict, that's more careful, it is unclear whether or not you'll be able